With X-Men Apocalypse opening this weekend, today on Guilty Movie Pleasures, we take you back to a time when X-Men movies weren't so good. By the cinema classic director Brett Ratner, known for such epics as Rush Hour 1, 2, and 3, and that shitty Silence of the Lambs prequel, we bring you X-Men The Last Stand!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasures.
Oh my God.
Yes. Cameron, you're just looking at this with such disappointment.
There's a clearance sticker on it.
Yes, I bought it at 2020 Video.
Oh,
RIP 2020 Video. RIP. And RIP Brett Ratner's film career after this movie.
Oh my gosh, man.
So, before we get started with this show,
yes,
X-Men The Last Stand,
yes,
I have to preface everything that happens on this show from this moment forward that I am a huge X-Men fan. I've been reading the comics ever since I was a kid. It was what got me into reading. My parents were like, hey, we'll get our son to read if we buy him comic books. Little did they know that that's pretty much all I would read for the rest of my life. My wife the other day was like, when have you read a book? I'm like,
I don't know what that is.
I've read graphic novels.
Is that like a graphic novel?
Watchmen counts as a book. It's very dense. So, yeah, now I just pretty much read comic books, and that's about it. But I'm a huge X-Men fan, and anyone who knows anything about the X-Men knows that the Dark Phoenix saga is one of the most gut-wrenching and just epically dark arcs of the X-Men saga, where Jean gets this cosmic force that takes her over and she can't control it, and at first it seems like a force for good, and then it's a very destructive force, and it ends with Wolverine having to kill her, and it's this really, it just scars Wolverine and Scott from then on, which they already had that little love triangle.
Scott got scarred in this movie.
But this movie takes the Dark Phoenix saga
and
just defecates,
wraps it up real quick.
Basically makes the Dark Phoenix saga just like a side note to Magneto's weird Coachella gathering in the woods.
It really does, because you start the movie thinking, hey, Jean Grey is going to be all over this thing.
Like, she's going to be the main bad guy.
And she's there for maybe 10 seconds. And I think that they used the same shot of her the entire movie, because she has the same facial expression.
She just stood there. They're like, all right, fam, Kate, we just need you for about 3 days on this. And one whole day is just going to be standing there,
just doing like this thing. And that's it.
And then every once in a while, I'll be like, Logan, save me.
That's it.
Oh, man. Because the problem, I think the reason this movie is so disheartening to fans, including myself, is that X-Men 1 and X-Men 2, X-Men United, had kind of changed. That was sort of the renaissance of comic book movies. That was a big deal. The first X-Men movie brought superheroes out of the kind of tights and spandex and ridiculousness and into this grittier, more realistic world. And then now Marvel's kind of gotten it back to the more comic booky, flashy stuff. But this was more of a realistic, gritty approach to the X-Men. And it was the first time X-Men had been done live action, unless you count Generation X, the TV movie.
I do count that.
Which you should, because it is canon. Oh. It is complete cinema canon for the series. But this movie takes a lot of bad turns. And the hard thing is, when I first saw it, I saw it in theaters with a friend of mine. And when I left, I remember just at the time being just enamored that they had brought Beast and all these.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that was a fun action movie.
Yeah.
I completely just disregarded the bastardization of the Phoenix saga and everything and just was like, that was okay. Plus, everybody told me it was terrible, so my expectations were lowered.
Yeah.
Upon rewatching it, we'll get into my different feelings. But when did you see this?
I first saw it in the theaters when it came out.
Yeah.
But being from the Midwest, very different experience with these movies.
Oh, yeah?
People will go from the farmhouse to the theater and go, shit's blowing up! And then that's about it. So I was like, yeah, it's great. It's awesome. There's a guy with claws. Sure.
Yeah. On the surface, if you don't take the gaping plot holes into account, you can really just have fun with the action. But when you
the action's really interesting, because I think, and we can get into this in a bit, but like when Magneto is throwing shit around, it's not like this big epic, because sometimes you see like, oh, I'm going to lift the bridge. He's just like, boom, boom. That's it. I kind of like that.
Fuck it. Here's a car.
Damn. Smashing it quick.
Yeah. So I guess we just get into the plot in under 3 minutes
have to stretch this one out.
Keep rolling, yeah, I think so, because as we talked before, nothing happens till the last 40 minutes, and then it's just a giant battle. that seemingly never ends.
Are we ready in there, Zach?
Are we ready in there, Zach, for the 3 minutes? In five. Oh, we ready?
Yep.
Okay. Go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So we set up a prologue with creepy CGI young Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen.
It's the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my
super
life.
Creepy. They come meet a young Jean Grey, and they already established that she's going to be hella powerful, and you should be really freaked out by her.
Yes.
Cut to present
day. A kid in his bathroom.
Yeah.
Right? Ten years later, he looks like he's giving himself his own circumcision, but he's not. He's trying to cut something off his back.
Like, are you masturbating
in there? What are you doing?
Nope. I'm cutting off my wings because I'm Angel, a.k.a. Warren Worthington. Cut to.
That's it.
Another cut to where it's the not too distant future, and you think it's this like Days of Future Past Sentinel battle.
Yes.
It's awesome. It's Kitty Pryde, Colossus, Wolverine, Storm. All of them are fighting in the danger, and then it turns out to be the danger room, which is still a badass reveal. And you're like, this movie's gonna be awesome.
That's right.
Nope, just kidding. Cause then where do we go from there?
Wolverine sees Scott in the hallway and he's all pissy and confused.
Scott basically
and shit.
Just whines the entire
and Scott
movie.
Just going whines out to the Alkaline
Kitty,
Lake.
Kitty and Bobby might have a little bit
Kitty
of a
Bobby.
Thing going on,
yeah.
And Rogue's getting jealous, and then they find out that we set up the Beast is the security for the mutant defense or some bullshit in the Secretary of Mutant Affairs,
yes.
Which actually was in the comics. So anyways,
yeah.
And he's the right hand of the president. He's trying to get mutants to have a little bit more of a say in the in the government. And they find out that there's this cure that they've Worthington Enterprises cut to Angel in the past.
Yeah,
Worthington Enterprises found this cure in a mutant that can basically cancel out mutant powers. So everybody's just kind of like, oh, what are we gonna do about this? And
Magneto says he has to find Mystique. Mystique is captured in a truck somewhere where she's behind bars pretending to be a little girl, pretending to be the president, pretending to be everybody.
And then Magneto goes to a church to get other people. He's been on the run.
That's right.
He gets a handful of lame mutants that you don't care about. Porcupine dude.
Yeah.
I call her Lady Flash and then Androgynous Girl. I don't know what her power is other than to look super androgynous.
My God.
And nothing wrong with that. It's just that's her power, apparently. And then...
That's where Magneto meets... He gathers
all his new Brotherhood of Evil mutants that you couldn't give a shit about. Then they go free Mystique, free the Juggernaut. Oh God, they really ruined the Juggernaut.
Turn Mystique into a human.
Yep. And then Mystique gets turned into a human and he immediately leaves her.
Yeah.
And then we meet Madrox, the Multiple Man, for about 5 seconds. Magneto's having this big powwow in the woods. It looks like a weird version of Coachella with these tents and the rain. Wolverine goes after him, tries to find Jean Jean kills Scott Summers. We forgot that. Scott Summers. Then Magneto and Professor X go to talk to her. Jean kills Professor X, just obliterates
him.
Goes off with Magneto. They're hanging out in the woods. Wolverine goes. Then he has a little emotional thing with Jean Grey. And then Magneto's like, I'm going to get you out of here. And he shoves him through the trees, and that apparently lets him go. Then Magneto's big plan is to go raid Alcatraz Island, where the cure is.
15.
He lifts this Golden Gate Bridge. There's a giant battle with these faceless mutants you don't give a fuck about.
10.
And then the 6 X-Men that show up. There's a big thing with the cure. Magneto gets cured. The Phoenix goes crazy.
Chess.
Starts just annihilating, disintegrating everybody. Wolverine kills her. Oh, he's so sad. There's a funeral for everything, and at the end they're like, where are we gonna go from here?
Boom, there it is, Platinum 3.
And then maybe Magneto still has his powers and Professor X transferred his consciousness to that. Which, by the way, the first time you see that does not make any sense.
Wait, what?
So Professor X early on in the movie is saying to his students, he's like, now this man is brain dead and he's on life support. Is it wrong if someone were to transfer his consciousness into this person and live in their body? And they just kind of gloss over that. And then at the very end, at the post credits tag, he's laying there in bed and Moira McTaggart comes in and the face of whoever it was in there turns and goes, Moira? And she goes, Charles? And then it cuts out.
I did not see that.
You didn't
that.
Wait till the end? Yeah. So they set up that Professor X is alive, but had transferred his...
I didn't think these movies had post-credit scenes.
He basically
until...
morged into... Isn't it morgue or... what's it called in Game of Thrones?
Warged.
He warged. He warged into this guy.
He branded his face.
And so that's what happened. And they loosely set that up, but I remember when I first saw it, I was like, what?
Yeah.
What? So it's called The Last Stand. They set it up to be...
The last movie.
The last movie, but then not really?
Yeah.
Not at all. They cop out on it, and they don't do a good job. So this movie is all kinds of silly.
Can we talk about the faces?
Which faces?
The at the beginning, or towards the beginning.
Oh,
whenever
God,
Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart entering the house.
Mm-hmm.
Is that jumping too far ahead?
No, that's a very opening scene.
Instantly.
I like the... Is that jumping too far ahead?
I didn't know what you were going
to
say.
To the opening sequence.
Well, you were at the post credits.
You're right.
I did jump
too far.
Is that jumping too far behind?
We're done. All right, thanks for listening.
We'll be right back.
After this message from Burlington Coat Factory.
This is horrible.
It well, it's weird because some shots it looked really good, and others it looked just terrifying.
Ian McKellen looked like he looked like Voldemort or something.
It was very weird. It was super unnerving.
Which I kind of got excited. I thought Harry Potter was gonna pop up, even though I've seen it before.
Better. It reminded me of how jarring it was in Civil War when I saw young
Tony Stark.
And, young Robert Downey Jr. And I was like, whoa,
yeah.
What's happening? But that looked really good.
That looked good.
I mean, then again, this was made in
2006.
Is that right? I don't have my glasses on yet. 2006.
Yeah.
And, man, but this movie starts off promising, even though there's like the super blatant foreshadowing of Professor X saying, will you control that power or will you let it control? That's more Magneto. Will you control? Nah, fuck it. I'll just go full Magneto. Will you control that power or let it control you? But that's Professor X. I know it's confusing,
that's
but I do
right.
a better Magneto. And that immediately is like, well, duh, she's going to turn into the Dark Phoenix.
Well, shit, yeah.
And I remember how excited I was after X2 when it ends right before the credits with the flame of the Phoenix coming up through the water. And you're like, oh! To me, this is exactly the same problem Spider-Man 3 had, where Venom and the Venom saga should have been its own movie. You didn't need Sandman and Hobgoblin, a.k.a. Harry, whatever. You didn't need that. You didn't need any of that stuff. You just needed Venom. That's it. This just needed the Phoenix. Just Phoenix. You didn't need all these other extra characters.
Well, especially because you're sitting there and just like, she can do anything she wants.
Yeah.
Why are we still paying attention to Magneto this much?
Yeah. We'll get to that because the whole ending. I'd like to go piece by piece. Tell me that the Danger Room scene isn't pretty awesome, though.
It is good. That gets you excited
for the
movie.
They do the fastball special, which is a huge thing in the comics that Colossus and Wolverine always do the fastball special, where he throws him and Wolverine goes berserker mode and kills the Sentinel or whatever they're throwing him at. And it's so awesome.
Ask for that at In-N-Out, by the way.
The fastball special. What would they give you?
Very fastly made French fries.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was a burger. Then, don't eat it because it may not be completely done.
That too.
But then this whole thing with like Kitty Pryde and Bobby, I appreciate it. There's things about this that I appreciate because they do take elements from the comics, but then they try and cram it all in and half do it. That's what's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Like Kitty and Bobby did have a relationship at one point, more than Rogue never did, because Rogue was older in the comics.
In the scheme of things, though, in this movie, that was so insignificant.
It was. It
you
doesn't
don't care
matter.
About it once for one
it
minute.
It was just a way to get Anna Paquin out of there.
Yeah.
It's like they were like, oh, shit, we're bringing in a lot of people, and Vinnie Jones is demanding a lot of money, so we just got to get these people to have as little days as possible.
I read that they did a contract for 2 movies, and so they had to recontract every single person for this third one.
That's why they killed everybody
off.
And
that's why James Marsden is killed off early because he only had a few days to film because
he was shooting Superman Returns the same year
with
Bryan Singer.
There it is.
Yeah,
we'll be right back.
Still bad choice. I would have still stuck with X-Men.
Yeah.
Although Superman Returns is a superior movie to this, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which
is saying something.
Let's go through they Game of Thrones style kill people off in this movie. They kill off every character
I forgot about that.
Or depower every character you could care about. They kill off Scott Summers right away.
Very quickly.
Who's one of the biggest X-Men characters out there.
I know.
Murder him. And they murder him. And I don't understand.
They don't even show him getting killed.
I don't even understand how Jean Grey kills people in this, because she's like making out with him and then she like, oh wait, my phone's
gone.
Then
his skin starts getting weird.
She like sucks his soul through. I don't know what's happening. He's just like, so his skin starts bubbling all strange.
What? And then that's all you see. You never see him again.
Then it cuts back to just his weird 90s style red shades floating, which
I still
know,
have some of those.
I know he had red shades in the comics, but the ones in this movie are silly looking.
It's like the ones you wear skiing.
Yeah. It looks the ones that like somebody who you'd buy at a truck stop with like the straps on them that you can fling in case you get jerked forward.
That's right.
They hang on your neck.
Or the ones that the
safety straps
people do in your lawn wear while they mow the grass.
Yeah. This that's all you know. That's all that's left of Scott is his sunglasses.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a lame death.
It's very
lame. Mystique is one of my favorite characters in both movie series. She's so fun, and she kicks ass, and that intro to her when she's being interrogated and she headbutts the guy and then swoops around and kicks, and you're like, oh, Mystique's gonna kick ass this movie.
Yeah.
And then it's like, or as soon as they free her, she's gonna get cured, and Magneto's gonna be like,
Sorry, you're one of them now.
Sorry, dear. And you know, this is a person who you want to see. She turns human. You still want to be have her be equally as badass in a human way.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing she does is,
hey, Magneto's probably hanging out in the woods.
Hey, just the. And how did she know that? How did? Was there a plan to go to the woods? And what are these woods?
I don't. Where are the woods?
Well, we're going to go to these woods where no humans go.
My brothers.
The same place the Planet of the Apes go.
We have a war to fight.
Generic woods where bad guys gather.
That's cheap filming location.
Exactly. Cheap filming location.
Studio backlot.
Somewhere we could go where they don't need to know if we have permits or not, because no one cares.
Was Wolverine's hair sillier than usual in this movie?
Yeah, it was off the charts.
It was super. There's some scenes where it just looks like they just put a wig on.
Yeah.
And it just like it looked like a Wolverine fro in this, like a pointy.
It was.
It was crazy.
It was an afterthought. They put it together.
I mean, you can see it in here. Not really, but you get the point. Just look a bit.
I also thought that his, what do you call him?
His claws looked very.
I almost said fangs for the fist.
What do you call these things?
They looked a little flimsy to me.
Yeah, well. For some reason,
they hurt me every time he used them.
This and Wolverine Origins. Wolverine Origins looks like Roger Rabbit when he unsheathes his claws for the first time in front of the mirror. It's like. And it just looks like cartoon claws.
Yeah.
And I remember in the theater laughing out loud. and anybody who was a fan of the movies laughing too, because they're like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, I know I'm getting off topic, but Wolverine Origins, the other thing I'll never forget, CGI wise, is when Gambit's climbing the ladder and Wolverine's just going like this, clearly to nothing. And the ladder is getting obliterated and just going into like just nonsensical chunks, just like, Berserker Rage, and Gambit gets thrown down. Oh, nothing was that bad. That's why we didn't do.
Wolverine.
We talked about doing Wolverine Origins, and in hindsight, at least it may have been a little bit more fun.
Yeah. Well, I had fun watching.
I had a lot of fun watching this movie.
And I will say, this is my biggest complaint about comic book movies that are going out in the theaters now. They're too long.
Mm-hmm.
This was the right
this
length.
Is brevity. Yeah, brevity
this
is
the right
soul
length.
Of wit.
That's
it's
right.
An hour and 44 minutes.
Is that James Joyce?
Yeah, I think so. The thing is that, though, that even with this short running time, they don't do a whole lot with it.
They don't
do a lot.
I would like to say it's jam-packed, but there's a 40-minute scene where a bridge is being lifted.
It's a very long sequence.
Unnecessarily.
Beast is one of my favorite characters in this movie. I love
Kelsey Grammer. Who said this is one of his favorite roles he's ever played.
Come on. Frasier as Beast is perfect. Because.
Amazing.
Beast is this, the dichotomy is between the, it juxtaposes, I just want to keep using big words.
Do it.
It juxtaposes the
ostensibly.
Ostensibly juxtaposes.
Yeah, I say.
The beast of his, the exterior quality of him as in the animal with his completely, he's always been seen hanging upside down reading poetry, reading English literature and things like that. And just like, he's this very learned young beast.
Yeah.
And that was always so cool to me in the comics and in the cartoon. And I think they nail him.
Yo,
and they
he
even
was great.
Nail his fights really well, too. His fights are fun.
He was
and
great.
He goes full-on feral cat and is just messing people up in the end. And that's a blast. But they don't really do a whole lot other than that with him, you know.
There's not a whole lot of, in general, like, in fisticuffs in this movie.
No.
Just the beast.
It's so, we have the, oh, when we have the introduction with Quite the Animal, this is when Wolverine meets the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
Can we play that?
Who's the furball?
Hank McCoy, Secretary of Mutant Affairs.
Right, the Secretary. Nice suit.
Henry, this is Logan. He's
Wolverine.
I hear you're quite an animal.
Look who's talking.
I feel like there's a little bromance going on there. A
little bit. Why did he feel the need to correct his name?
This
is like Wolverine.
Wolverine.
When he introduced himself as, how did he introduce himself again?
Hank McCoy.
He didn't say, I'm Beast.
He never calls himself Beast.
Yeah, but he's
just
Wolverine.
Hank McCoy. This is Logan. Wolverine.
Wolverine,
I'm tough.
I'm Hank.
I'm super tough. Just so you know, I'm the tough guy around here. Yeah. That's what they make Wolverine seem like in this moment, because he has no reason to be a dick. Because Beast is trying to do good stuff. Hank McCoy,
nice guy.
He's trying to do good stuff. And Wolverine just comes out just attitude,
what
which
up,
he's known
furball.
For. He's known for. You know, I believe we were talking about things earlier.
Yeah.
You've said this before. I
have.
Yeah. Can you tell me when again? Because I liked it so much. We wasted it before the microphones were on.
I said every morning when I take a shower, I take my pants off and look down and I say,
I hear you're quite an animal.
And then I get in. And get clean. And it works out very well.
I remember, I may have told this on the show before in a different iteration, I'm not sure, but I back in the day when I used to go clubbing.
Yeah, I believe it's clubbing.
It's clubbing. Yeah.
Clubbing?
Clubbing is a different thing. That's where you hit people with clubs.
Yeah.
Clubbing is when you go dancing.
Yeah,
And I would go dancing, and there was one time where I was trying to get this young lady to dance with me, mm-hmm. And I was getting my sweet moves going, and she comes up to me, and she starts grinding on me, and she looks back behind me, and she goes...
I hear you're quite an animal.
And then she starts just slamming into me like super hard.
You did talk about
this. I did talk about this. Okay, I did. This is a legit story that just keeps haunting me. I think my groin is still bruised from this woman. So for all you clubbers out there, and I don't mean clubber lang or people that hit people with clubs. I mean clubbing clubbers. You know, just go easy on the butt thrusts. That's all I'm saying. Go easy.
Go easy on the butt thrust.
Hashtag.
Easy on the butt thrust.
Hashtag.
New album.
Easy on the butt thrust. Yeah.
Light it down.
By Beast and the Animals. Beast and the Animals' new album, Easy on the Butt Thrust.
Easy on the Butt Thrust. Yeah, you know,
that
Ben,
that's super weird.
Do you ever get calls on your phone from a number you don't recognize?
Oh, all the time. All the time.
So when this happens, it kind of freaks me out, and I feel like I need to have an aggressive answer. So mm-hmm. every time it comes up with a number I don't know or it just says unknown, I answer it and I say,
I hear you're quite an animal.
And then always...
And it proves to be very entertaining.
Yeah. Because that
most
throws
of the
them
time
off.
Ends that
throws them off.
Up.
And most of the time it ends with, yeah.
Yeah. Occasionally PETA answers.
Yeah. Occasionally PETA. and they're like, actually, no, but we protect animals.
Actually, yes.
Actually, we're a protection of animals.
Actually, it's Wolverine.
So then, oh, man, I don't even know where to go. So this cure happens, which I like the idea of the cure so much. Like, not just the band The Cure, because I like that, too.
Yeah.
But the cure in this, where it's like, it does bring up an interesting point where somebody like Beast or Hank McCoy, he would want to be cured, maybe, because his appearance.
We see that. We see it happen.
We see it happen on a budget.
Definitely see it happen.
Where he goes and visits Jimmy, the boy who has the cure in him because that's his mutant power. And he's like, what does he do? And then he goes up and he moves just close enough.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Oh.
No, it's quite fine.
Also, this is Kelsey Grammer.
Exactly.
This is no longer Ian McKellen, but we're going to keep going with it.
Yes. It's just, never mind. I'm just going to stand back now. That's a terrible Kelsey Grammer, but it's all right. But I think that it's just they didn't have the budget or the time because I imagine getting Kelsey Grammer into that makeup took like a half a day.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty extensive. So they're like, his hand turns white.
Yeah.
His hand turns like a pasty white guy's hand.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's just somebody else's
hand. It's just a glove.
Hand.
We can take it back, put it back on. Remove the beast glove.
That's how they did it. Speaking of Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
we don't spend enough time with Jimmy.
No, we know nothing about him.
He's the single most fascinating possible thing you can think of aside from Jean Grey.
Yeah.
And
we know nothing about
like,
him.
He's like, all right, you freak. We'll see you later. Let me inject some blood from you, but that's about it.
All right, we're going to weaponize you and know nothing about your backstory. See ya.
Yeah.
And
have
then,
fun playing GoldenEye.
Then we go to the mutant meeting.
Oh, yes.
Where it was no humans allowed, and Magneto gives the epic bad guy speech, which of course would sway anyone to his brotherhood of lame mutants in this
absolutely.
Movie. Can we play the Magneto speech, please?
Nobody's talking about extermination.
No one ever talks about it. They just do it. And you go on with your lives, ignoring the signs all around you. And then one day, when the air is still and the night has fallen, they come for you.
Excuse me.
It's only then you realize what you're talking about.
Don't
organizing
interrupt Magneto.
And committees. The extermination has already begun. Make no mistake, my brothers. They will draw first blood. They will force their cure
it's
upon us. The only question is, will you join my brotherhood and fight? Or wait for the inevitable genocide.
This is much longer than I remember.
Who will you stand with? The humans? Or us?
It's still epic. I mean, that...
Humans or
the
us.
Humans or us.
I'm, by the way, in that speech, I'm the excuse me guy. 10 seconds into this bullshit, I'm going, hey!
Excuse me!
I get it!
Yeah.
Excuse me!
I got a funny story about this.
Yeah, please.
Steven!
Steven's in the room, by the way.
Holy shit!
Hey. Funny story.
Yeah.
Back in high school, I was 16, maybe 17, you know, my first girlfriend, brought her home to the parents, and after she left, she spent the night one night, and the next day
your parents were in the house, and that was okay?
It was fine.
You had progressive parents.
Very.
But the next day, my dad comes up to me, pulls me aside, says, Steven, I gotta tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this.
Who will you stand with, the humans or us?
I thought you were going to say
and then
that
you never saw your father.
No, he said the whole thing. Like it was, straight word for word that whole speech.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was when it scared the shit out of me. I didn't have sex again until I was like 20.
Well, because it was all about extermination.
Yeah, I was.
And I mean, he planted the seed that women would exterminate you.
Yeah,
that's a terrible. You should have some therapy about that, man.
I mean, guilty movie pleasures is my
thing. That's your therapy. Good.
Do you ever go Black Friday shopping?
Uh huh.
I go every year. It's an insane madhouse.
Oh God, yes.
This past every year I went and I went to Walmart and mm-hmm. they're open 24 hours at Walmart, and so they plastic wrap everything that they're gonna sell super cheap at midnight. And what happens? 11:50, everybody goes in there and starts like animals
just tearing it
apart, ripping
place.
It apart. And there's a select few of us standing in a line, waiting 10 more minutes. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed everybody's attention in the Walmart this year, Ben, and I said, hey, everybody.
Who will you stand with, the humans or us?
And I walked away with nothing.
You get a little choked up. That's why it took
got
so long.
You're like,
who will you stand with, the humans?
Actually, there was
or us.
Food caught in there with
that. Oh, man. Yeah. Magneto has... He's such a cool... I mean, Ian McKellen does such a good job of having so much gravitas to a character that doesn't have a ton of development in this movie.
Who just has a helmet.
In the last two movies, he has a ton of stuff going on. And in this one, it's just like they're going through the motions. And Professor X is kind of a dick.
Yeah.
They reveal that he had put these blocks up in Jean Grey's mind to stop her from accessing. And then that formed a separate personality called the Phoenix.
Yeah.
Which they reveal in the comics that Professor X did that to Wolverine. And it's a huge betrayal to the X-Men.
Yeah.
That would have been much more interesting to follow is everyone, this figure that they idolize, finding out this darkness to him that he did manipulate someone extremely, and the fallout of that, instead of just martyring him and killing him off and making him disintegrate into, like, confetti?
Everybody
disintegrates
scene,
into confetti.
Into
oh,
confetti.
This scene.
It's whew. Like this friggin' scene. He gets lifted out of the chair. He's sitting there like, don't do it.
No.
And he's getting lifted up.
Gene, no! That was
the
Ian McKellen,
part,
by the way.
When it says... Yeah, don't let it control you. And then he turns and does this fucking weird ass smile at Wolverine. He's like, and then he gets exploded into confetti.
That's a big problem with these movies in general is that they focus so much on Wolverine that they don't give other.
So much.
And I love
Wolverine.
Wolverine's my favorite
too,
character in comics, but they don't. They make every movie basically a Wolverine movie plus the X-Men. Instead of letting everybody else shine. And I think that's what's cool about the newer movies is that they let the teams... It's all about the teams, and Wolverine makes an appearance here and there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole scene is just... But we did skip... I forgot
Charles!
We skipped a couple fun little moments where... So there's this big buildup where you think Mystique is going to get rescued right away, and then it takes like 30 minutes for some reason. And so there's a setup with Little Mystique. Can we play that? Where she's pretending to be a little girl and talking to the guard.
Oh, that's right.
Please let me go. Please.
Keep it up. I'll spray you in the face, bitch.
When I get out of here, I'm going to kill you myself.
You know, one time...
That was an 80-yard line.
Yeah, totally. One time when I was a kid, my neighbor used to mess with us around trick-or-treat. And they would give us, like, what we thought were big candy bars.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd open them up, and they'd be, like, cobbled together shitty candy. Like, that you wouldn't want. You know, like, so instead of a Snickers bar, it would be, like, two Almond Joys. And, like, so you thought it was just broken.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you took the time to open this wrapper up, put your shitty candy in it, and seal it back up. And I remember, finally, the third year in a row with this, I just looked at my neighbor and I said,
when I get out of here... gonna kill you myself.
And let's just say I murdered them right before I left for Los Angeles. I didn't really. I didn't. That didn't really happen.
No, it's okay if you did. No,
yeah,
it's not.
Whatever.
No, it's not.
It was
okay
justified. Justified.
I used to be a camp counselor.
Yeah.
And this is summer camp back in Missouri. Went Lake of the Ozarks. You ever heard of Lake of the Ozarks?
Yeah.
And I used to have fun with the kids. I was a counselor. You know, we were hanging out. I was down at the waterfront helping the kids swim and do the water trampoline, the blob, which was great.
Yeah.
And this one girl, I was kind of surprised. I just said, hey, be careful when you run because you might slip and hurt yourself. And she just turned to me and said,
when I get out of here, gonna kill you myself.
That would be unnerving. That'd be super unnerving.
She was seven.
You know, the problem is that I used to have super soaker wars back in the day with my neighborhood.
Yeah.
We'd have super soakers, and it was guys versus girls. And the one time, the girl snuck up behind us and totally just cheated in the match, got me soaked, And I just got so mad at them that I turned around and I said,
I'll spray you in the face, bitch.
And apparently that's frowned upon in your, you know, your grade school life. So yeah. Then my mom came out and washed my mouth out with soap. Dug the Dial soap into my into my molars. It was pretty bad.
Wow, damn.
It's pretty bad.
Dug it into your molars.
Into my molars.
You still taste it a little bit?
A little bit. It's either that or the emotional scarring from it that I still
taste. I like
taste.
Dove better. Dove was better.
Dove was delightful compared to
premium
Dial.
Premium flavor.
So let's move on from this scene. So we got the trio of lame mutants that joined the Brotherhood, which we talked about a little bit in the 3-minute thing where that's the biggest gripe I have with this movie. There's so many awesome mutants they could have brought into the world, and instead they bring Porcupine Guy, Lady Flash, who can also sense mutants.
Across the globe, apparently?
Sure. She's a human,
I don't understand that.
She's a human Cerebro computer, basically, and she's Lady Flash. And then Androgynous Girl, who I think later on is called... What was it? Later
Jennifer.
On, she's called, like, Rock Slide or something like that, and she has the ability to...
Yeah, when she does the Shockwave.
Shockwave. Maybe that's her name. It's so forgettable. They don't give her a line or a power. She does nothing in any of the fights until the very end when suddenly after everybody's being shot with the cure, she targets all their guns. It's like, why didn't you open with that?
I only knew that she was... A female when she did that.
Yeah.
She goes, ah! And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah,
there it is.
So then we basically, a bunch of stuff happens where oh my God. There's just like Jean Grey. I don't even know where to go with this.
She looks like she's been smelling a fart the whole movie. Let's be honest.
Yep. And Warren Worthington comes back in and he's being strapped in to give the cure. And he's like, no, Dad, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And he crashes out.
That shot.
Shot where he goes...
When he gets out of the chair and he's like, ha-ha! Shortly before,
it looks like
something
from,
dude.
Like, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Like, here I am!
It does.
With my wings.
It's like he was about... I thought he was going to get on a box before he jumped out the window. And why... If he's doing that stance, why don't you stab him with the thing?
Exactly.
There's plenty of time.
And then he just breaks through the glass that apparently doesn't cut his shirtless body.
Or put a hole in any of his wings.
His wings are...
Or pluck a feather.
Did you know Angel can fly and is glass-proof?
I did know that, yeah.
Okay. That's in the comics.
Yeah, no,
that's in the comics.
It's a post-credit scene in the comics.
Yes, yeah. So Angel disappears. Magneto finally breaks out Mystique. The Juggernaut and Madrox, the Multiple Man, who is is an X-Factor character in the comics, a huge character.
Very small in this
delegated
book.
To just... a distraction later on when the government comes and thinks they're busting the mutants and it's just one guy and he goes, oops, sorry, it's just me. And you're like, that's McSteamy from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
How do I know that? Because my wife used to watch the show.
It's okay.
Before it went off the rails, it jumped the shark. Right. So Juggernaut's first introduction.
We have that clip.
Oh, God. Can we play Juggernaut's I Need to Pee? Because this is how we're introduced to one of the best bad guys in comic book history and one of the baddest mother effers out there. This is his introduction via Brett Ratner.
What do they call you?
Juggernaut.
I can't imagine why.
You can let me out of here. I need a pee.
God damn it.
So
that
intimidating.
So mad.
So intimidating.
They make him... Because this
is let me on it, especially because they lead up to it. Like, this motherfucker is gonna go off the rails. We're gonna open his cage, and he's going to destroy everything in his sight.
Yep. What happened is that internet meme, which we'll get to in a little bit, ruined Juggernaut. It made him a joke, and they were like, "Oh, this will appeal to people. This will be funny." The "I need to pee" line is the dumbest way to introduce him.
Didn't even say I gotta piss.
You know what? That there are times though where like I was on a roller coaster at Cedar Point.
Yeah,
and I'd waited in line for 3 hours to get there. You can't get out to go to the bathroom or anything.
Yeah,
I'm in the front of the roller coaster, and then it goes through. It's fun and all, but not worth a 3-hour wait. Then we get back, and it stops right before they're going to let us off, and they're like, "We have about a 10-minute delay." And I just looked at him and I said,
"You can let me out of here. I need a pee."
Yeah.
Sure enough, they didn't. So I just pissed right there.
Oddly enough, this past weekend I was stuck in a bathroom.
Yeah.
And there was too many people, and I said,
"You can let me out of here. I need a pee."
Yep.
And I found a roller coaster and took a pee on it.
I was in the... That's weird. That's weird that you found a roller coaster.
It was the only thing close.
Whenever I go to the movies and I'm in the middle row,
uh-huh.
People like to just lounge and like just... And anytime you stand up, Like, I go maybe once during a movie. It's not like I'm going five times. That would be obnoxious. It's not like I have, like, incontinency issues, you know? It's just, I had to go once during Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
I stood up. I found a slow part. I was like, this is just going to be a character building scene, whatever. I can have my wife fill me in. I stand up, and I go to walk, and the person next to me is not moving. They're not moving. They have their shit on the ground.
It's
their
the
popcorn.
Kind of person, like, you have to bump into them before they move.
Yeah, and I'm like, excuse me, and they're not moving. And finally, I go,
you can let me out of here. I need a pee.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, fuck, Vinnie Jones wants out of here.
Well, speaking of that, Steven.
Yeah, lesser known fact about the actor who played the androgynous man.
Uh-huh. You know, androgynous woman.
Androgynous thing.
Yeah.
They were in North Carolina recently, and they had to use the restroom. Oh. And they were stuck in a room trying to figure out what restroom to use to. And they yelled at the police officer standing there.
You can let me out of here. I need a pee.
There it is.
You got topical. You hey, got, hey.
Steven.
That was,
Steven, can you open the door?
You can let me out of here. I need a pee.
It's, you know, we have been in here almost 45 minutes. I know how your bladder
go.
Is.
I'll just go right here. I'll just go.
So,
can I get out of here? I'm going to kill you myself.
That's what Zach says every episode.
I'm just glad you didn't play the spray all over his face line. That would have been weird after the pee, Zach.
Get me out of here. I have to pee.
I'm just talking.
What?
Look who's talking. You know, that was actually a voiceover for the John Travolta, Kirstie Alley hit in the 80s.
Oh, my God.
At the very end of it, it was like, ba-da-ba. It was like, I'm walking on sunshine. And then when the title card came up, it went,
look who's talking.
That's it.
And it was a sexy way to be like, this movie's funny, but sexy.
I thought you were going to say, let me out of here. I need to pee.
Look who's talking.
It's like, I don't remember that movie, but
no,
I
don't
watch
either.
It.
So then the big fight happens at the house, which actually Juggernaut beating Wolverine's ass is pretty cool. I like the shot where he throws him through the ceiling and he pops out from the other side.
It's pretty great.
But then nothing else cool happens in
nope,
that scene.
That's about it.
And Magneto's a super big dickhead in this scene. He's just like, Charles is trying to hold you back, Jean. Not again. And he eggs her on. We'll skip all this because Charles gets destroyed, like we said. He gets turned into confetti, CGI confetti.
We hear Magneto just say Charles the one time.
Yep.
Some ounce of dignity.
I actually wrote at one point, Bobby and Kitty go on a midnight ice skating trip right after Charles Xavier's funeral just to push Rogue to want the cure and leave. Fuck this movie. That's what I wrote. I wrote fuck this movie. Because I was like, you just have this really epic, dramatic scene that's very forced and unnecessary to kill off a major character in such an abrupt way, but at least let it linger. And then suddenly it's like, we're just ice skating and budding romance.
Have Rogue go down there and kill him.
Yeah, something.
She's so pissed.
Rogue needed to get furious about it. And instead, they have this little romance that then, at the end, Rogue gets cured, and then they're holding hands again, and you're like, well, what about Kitty now?
Yeah. No,
come
she's
on,
screwed.
What about that ice skating
moment?
She's
going to date Juggernaut.
Oh, God. So now, then Magneto bonds with Jean, and they're out in the woods.
Which I don't, by the way. After Magneto, he goes up to her after she's destroyed everything, and he's like, come with me, my dear.
Yeah. Yes,
what
I'll
are
be
you
able to control you. Yes. And then Warren Worthington shows up and is like, I was told this is a safe place for mutants. And you think, oh, they're going to bring him on the team. Nope, he's just going to hang around and eventually fly in to save his dad at the end and then disappear from the movie.
How quickly did they give up? Beast, what the shit? Charles Xavier died. Well, we should send everybody home. Yeah. I hear this is a place for mutants. Not anymore.
Exactly.
You made the decision seconds ago.
Right away. Well, we could continue on with Professor Xavier's dream that we've all been living for like 20 years now. Or he's dead. Fuck it. Let's
Fuck
just back
it.
Up.
You Kill
know,
everybody.
You know how much money we can get for this school? It's in upstate New York. This shit is high value property. But then,
Flyboy.
Oh my God. Then I wrote, man, I am realizing nothing happens in this movie. And then Logan takes a weird road trip to the woods, and he has a really tearful scene with Jean. And then Magneto pushes him through the trees, and like he just hits a whole bunch. He falls down like boom, 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 like a Looney Tunes cartoon. And that's supposed to stop him from being able to fall. Like,
how about that line?
It had to take
of
hours.
Metal?
Adamantium.
I could smell it.
Adamantium
from a mile away.
Exactly.
Really?
I think maybe.
I don't know.
He has a good sense of smell. Don't get a lead pencil anywhere
near.
Is
that part of your power?
In Brett Ratner's world, yep.
He's not resistant to glass, though.
Exactly.
Pencils!
Pencil! Ah! So the thing that drives me nuts about it, several things. Wolverine can heal very quickly, so falling down trees isn't going to knock him out for an extended...
They're oak.
You're right. A very sturdy tree.
Right.
But that horde of mutants would have taken much longer to pack up and get their shit out of there than it would take for Wolverine to wake back up. And then the government comes and it's you know, the multiple man. But let's get to the end where
come with the bridge.
Where first, before that, there's the Wolverine pep talk to the six mutants that every action movie ever needs, where there are six mutants against an army. And what does Wolverine do? He gives a sweet-ass 30-second pep talk. Can play Wolverine?
There's only six of us, Logan.
Shut up, Bobby.
Yeah, we're outnumbered.
So good. How many sports movies have started that way? And war movies.
We lost Scott. We lost a professor.
Any war movie.
We don't fight now. Everything they stood for will die with them. I'm not going to let that happen.
Cue the music. Swell it a little. And, swell the music a little more.
Put one single tear down.
And we stand together.
Storm's face.
All right. X-Men.
Yep. Show a wide shot
of
all
this. There's a woman.
Let me out of here. I got to pee.
Yeah.
That's a moment where if this was a good movie, it would be super epic, and you'd be like, "Yeah, X-Men are together!" But instead, you're just like, "Fuck, Jesus!" It just feels like it's pieced together from every war and superhero movie ever made.
There's something anticlimactic about what he says when he says that. He's like, "Yeah, hey, Scott's dead." And, wheelchair guy, cripple's dead. And
I believe it's Professor Xavier.
And that's about it.
It's
un-PC.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this. So
I think it's about this time you're sitting there and you're just like, Brett Ratner.
Can I get out of here?
That's right.
I'm killing myself.
That's right.
Then Magneto does the only thing Magneto can do at this moment. Instead of just, I don't know, getting on a ferry and going to Alcatraz. Nope, he has to do a big show and lift up part of the bridge and connect it to Alcatraz, which I don't think... it's long enough to line up directly. It's a long sequence of just like,
it's so,
and everybody leaves the bridge except for one family that's just like,
this is magical.
And then later on, they lock the door, which I thought was a hilarious detail.
We find out later on that half of his band of misfits can fly too.
Yep.
So why
apparently,
not just?
Apparently, yeah. That's what I wrote down, is that pretty much the entire army of mutants can super jump. I was like, is that just their power? When they land the bridge, suddenly they're all just like, attack! Boom! And they just all super jump. There's a guy who can vomit lava. There's Porcupine Guy. There's the guy who regenerates. And then and Wolverine keeps trying to cut him. And he's like, come on! And then Wolverine kicks him in the nuts. And he's like, grow that back. And it's like, what? Nobody gets defeated in an interesting way. Like a nut kick to a guy who can... everything is so anticlimactic. Then the fight scene with Bobby and Pyro, it's just like they're blasting at each other.
Yeah,
and then Bobby turns ice and then freezes his hands and headbutts him.
That's it. The best that's kill, I think, was when Jean Grey has like the 40 people and she's just like, confetti!
Confetti!
And then all of them die. You're like, okay, damn.
I wish she would yell, confetti!
Happy birthday!
I would like to play the clip with the build bridges, because Magneto has a hilariously overt pun about when he's bringing the bridge over to Charles. Worthington Labs. Can we play that?
Charles always wanted to build bridges.
Once again, in a good movie, I would completely be like, oh yeah, Magneto, oh yeah. But in this, you're like, God! Fuck you, Brett Ratner!
Yeah.
Fuck you!
It's
the
terrible.
Studios next to us hate us. It's fine.
It's fine.
And then the plane shows the
hopefully Brett Ratner's not here.
Then
though.
The X-Men show up, and Beast has one of his lines that is key in the comics, Stars and Garters. He always says it. And in this, it's perfectly delivered by Kelsey Grammer, even though it seems wildly out of place. Can we play Stars and Garters?
Oh, my Stars and Garters.
Oh, my Stars and Garters.
It's, you know,
do it one more time, Zach.
Oh, my Stars and Garters.
We don't even have time to go on an improv with that, but it's fine.
I also say that when I pull my pants off.
Yeah,
along with the other thing.
Stars.
Oh, my Stars and Garters.
That's what I say whenever I go to a 4th of July themed strip club.
Yes.
Oh, my Stars and Garters.
When I save a dollar at the cash register.
Yeah.
Oh, my Stars and Garters.
Yep. We got to get into the Juggernaut is unleashed. Basically, the big plan Magneto had was to have this all-powerful mutant just hang back the entire time and do nothing during the entire fight. And he says, that's why you let the pawns go first. And he just unleashes the super jump people. They all get annihilated by
porcupines.
The cure. They all get annihilated by the cure. And then Androgynous Woman comes out and goes, shockwave! And kills all their weapons. And you're like, oh, why didn't you do that in the first place?
Because I think Magneto was kind of over the simpletons.
I think so. He just wanted to weed out the herd.
Yeah, he's kind of
Then his next play is, all right, the six X-Men are kind of beating all 300 of us, so what if I start launching cars and Pyro explodes them? And that goes on for seemingly 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then finally the X-Men are like, here's how we stop him. Bobby, freeze one of the cars.
That's it.
And he'll just be like, okay, instead of just
being
instead of just being like, all right, I'll throw 30 cars now. He's like, well, damn it, foiled again.
But I think it is funny because
X-Men think of everything.
You see him like lifting semis left and right, and in this one he's like very carefully like
he's super lazy.
Fire.
He's so lazy. Then he unleashes the Juggernaut, and there's a bowling sound effect. I don't know if you noticed this. When he runs through a herd of good guys, can we play that?
Hold it! Oh God.
Why? Who in... I bet that was a Brett Ratner thing. Like, guys, add a bowling sound effect. That would be great. And then we get to the worst sound clip of the movie, which was based on that meme we were talking about around that time about Juggernaut, where Kitty Pryde phases him into the ground, and he's stuck there, and then he looks at her and says, the Juggernaut.
Don't you know who I am? I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was in the pitch meeting. Imagine going over the table read.
It's just...
And somebody just says that out loud and it makes it...
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I'm the Juggernaut, bitch! I don't even know what to improv with that because it just makes me so sad.
There's obvious testicle things that are potential, but you know.
You know, yeah.
I've said enough penis things tonight.
It's just some guy brought the viral video into the writer's room. Guys, watch this.
This had a million hits.
Watch this.
It's going to go over like gangbusters.
Brett, the Juggernaut, bitch!
Brett, I can save your movie.
Brett,
this is how.
So then, basically, there's this. We already talked about most of the battle, and it ends with Wolverine. Yep, wrapping up. Wolverine runs interference. Beast cures Magneto with like four needles to the heart, and Magneto's just like,
and he's seizing.
Like, you're one of them now, and it's like, oh shit. And then out of nowhere, Phoenix finally does something. 10 minutes before the end of the movie, I clocked it. Ten minutes before the end of the movie, Phoenix is like. She's about to be good, and then all the humans show up with the cure, and she stops. They fire like 600 at her, and she stops it all, and then she's like, confetti!
Confetti!
And everybody's like, get out of here! And she does what she should have done.
Hide under something.
This is what should have been the plan in the beginning. Hey, Phoenix, you can control all of space, time, and everything, and matter. How about you just lift us all up? We all fly over there. You disintegrate the entire building.
Game over.
And just disintegrate Jimmy, because we're going in there to kill him. Disintegrate the entire building. We'll just hop over. We'll go to Denny's, get a moon over Miami. It'll be done.
That's it.
Like, it's all they had to do, but instead...
We have nothing else to do.
Instead, she just goes emo in the back the whole time.
I don't think Magneto really wanted to win.
Magneto didn't want to win, and he had no plan.
He just wanted to play chess, I'll bring out the big guns
if I need to.
Yeah.
And at the end, she's just annihilating everything. And Wolverine, it's a cool effect where Wolverine's, his skin keeps getting like burned off.
That
like,
was neat. That
T2
was neat.
Style.
Yeah.
And he's like, Jean, don't do this. And she has a moment of clarity and says, save me. And then he kills her. And that moment to me in a good movie would be so powerful because it's well done.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't build to that at all.
No.
And then we're left with the aftermath.
So quickly.
It happens
so fucking quickly.
Yeah.
Wolverine is like totally fine.
Yeah, just I gotta go. And then there's
he's like, I love you. Smash cut to him like walking outside the professor's house. He's like, it's a good day.
I'm the headmaster. And I imagine like a Bon Jovi song. This
That's exactly what it's like. It's a grand day for the X-Men.
Oh man,
come on down and join.
We end on this like weirdly pseudo happy note where Professor X, Jean, and Scott are dead. Wolverine's mate and Storm are the new heads of the school. Rogue is back and cured, and now Bobby and her got how Rogue got her groove back.
She knows
back.
She can't stay, right?
I guess.
That's an awkward conversation.
Warren Worthington just flies by again as Angel for no reason to set up, to connect Magneto there. The chess piece moves slightly. You're like, oh, shit, X-Men 4!
Yeah.
X-Men 4, he's back, and he'll actually have a plan this time.
I was hoping the post-credit scene was going to be to reveal there was just a strong wind that day.
That would be amazing.
Damn it! Shit! These are plastic.
Oh, man. You know what? If ever you're at a loss for a bad guy line, or if you're ever in a fight and you want to intimidate somebody, just go the way of Juggernaut and just look at your rivals and just kind of puff up your chest rooster style and say,
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!
I could not figure out a more perfect way to end this. I know we ragged on this movie a lot, but I think most of you would be offended if we didn't. It's not a perfect movie. There are fun moments. There are cool nods. But let's just say that X-Men movies have been done better in the past and present and future.
And let us know what you think of that new one.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Don't spoil anything, because I probably won't be able to see it till Monday. But please tweet at us. Let us know what you think of X-Men Apocalypse. Let us know what you thought of X-Men The Last Stand. If there's anyone out there who thought X-Men The Last Stand is the best X-Men movie, please give us your dissertation on the YouTube comments.
Correct
or us. Tweet at us. We really want to hear that. Yeah. I want to hear the theory behind that and why anyone would think that. Also, give us some suggestions for next week. Anything, we're always open for suggestions. Review us on iTunes, that always helps. Follow us at Guilty Movie Guys, all that good stuff. Cameron, where can they find you?
At The Only Camshaft, Twitter and Instagram, Ben Begley.
At The Ben Begley. And guys, we are like a week and a half away from the Funhouse Massacre coming out. And then it'll only be a couple more weeks and I'll stop talking about it, I promise. It comes out June 7th. We have a BitTorrent bundle going on right now where you can see the first 10 minutes of the film. You get to download an international trailer, a 10-minute kill montage of mayhem.
Wow.
You get 31 stills from the set and alternate posters and music tracks. It's a big, awesome bundle, and all you have to do is sign up with your email. That's it. You go to bittorrentbundles.com and you search the Funhouse Massacre. Put your email in. It just adds you for updates. It's not like we're going to spam you. But you get a bunch of cool stuff. You can get a taste for the film. And then if you want to pre-order it or put it on your wish list, that helps. Any little bit helps. So thank you so much for supporting. You guys have been awesome. And until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!